Hey, I want to thank our great friends over at Nacho Mama's Food Truck for helping us out over here, making this podcast possible each and every week. Without them, there would be no us, man. So let's check it out. Let's see where they're going to be serving up these great, hot, fresh gourmet nachos this week. Wednesday, the 22nd, Black Raven Brewing in Redmond, baby, from 4 to 8 p.m. Thursday, January 23rd, Optimism Brewing on Capitol Hill, 5 to 9 p.m. Saturday, the 25th, Karn Brewing in Kenmore, 4 to 8 p.m. And then Sunday, January the 26th, Ridgecrest Public House in Shoreline, 5 to 8 p.m. The specials this week. Oh, man. They went deep. They went out deep into the sea and found the Dungeness Crab so they could make the Dungeness Crab nachos. And on that, there's some Fontina cheese sauce, Dungeness Crab, roasted corn, pickled red onions, sweet bell peppers, and avocado crema. Mind your peas and carrot soup. If you need a little something a little hot just to warm you up on that cold day that we've been having lately, those snowy days. Hopefully we won't see any more of those. Carrot soup with pea pesto. And if that ain't good enough, with marinated pork belly. Man. Almond Joy Brownie. Let me say that again. Almond Joy Brownie. Dark chocolate brownie with toasted coconut and almonds. You know, thanks so much, Chris, Sandra. We love you so much. Nacho Mama's Food Truck, NachoMamasSeattle.com, where you can find the rest of the menu, where they're going to be in the upcoming weeks, and just everything Nacho Mama's. And you can follow them on Twitter, at Nacho Mama's SCA, and on Facebook, Nacho Mama's Seattle. Hashtag nachos and beer. Yo, this is the L Train. This is the Bigfoot Pro Wrestling Podcast, episode 147. And thanks for tuning in again this week. I appreciate it so much. You know, I've been seeing the numbers lately, and I appreciate each and every one of you checking out the show on all the different various podcast platforms and over on my website. So thank you so much. And going to do a little quick opening this weekend. Got another hour long podcast here for you. But we're also getting ready to jump in the car, head up to Everett for the big show up there, WAC Presents 2020. We're going to see who's coming out to take on Chris Bay for the championship, the Chris Bay Open Challenge. Also, the Tag Team Championship tournament is going to get underway. Also, Daniel Maccabi is taking on, oh my God, Warhorse, and there's so much more on this show. It's going to be my first time seeing Warhorse, so I'm really excited. What a weekend of wrestling. ECC Dub had some huge shows up there. Ballroom Brawl. Sounded like a great weekend for everyone involved. Congratulations to the Verose Twins winning their ECC Dub tag team title for the second time, I think. And you're going to be hearing from those guys here very soon on the podcast. Was just talking to them a little earlier today about coming on soon. Also, congratulations to Lucha Libre Volcanica. Another big solid show for them on Saturday night from what I saw on social media. Congratulations to Jordan Oasis winning the Lucha Libre Volcanica 10-year anniversary title. And I believe he took on Jet Knight. So I'm sure that match was completely sick, completely insane. And man, what a weekend of wrestling. Also, let's congratulate the Northwest talent that were in other states this weekend. First of all, West Coast Pro, they had a show down in California. And 4 Minutes of Heat, Sonico, Jarrell Nelson were all on there. I'm sure I'm forgetting someone. And then also guys that wrestle locally for us here, Chris Bay and Hammerstone all on that. So that was a lot of fun seeing all that, watching it on independentwrestling.tv, by the way. And then also also Black Label Pro. Congratulations to Dave Turner, Chris Ross, and Chase James. They were all part of the show, competed in their, the Black Label Pro Rumble. And, man, congratulations to all those guys. Also, we're able to see that on independentwrestling.tv. So, man, congratulations to everyone from the Northwest that was on those shows and also up in Canada and right here in Seattle. So, great weekend for all you guys. And then next weekend, Friday night, 3-2-1 Battle Rumble. And, dude, you got the Battle Rumble, the Solid Steel Championships up, Daniel Maccabi challenging Desi Derrata on that one. God, I can't even speak right now. And then Eddie Van Glam taking on the Bird for the Seattle Underground Championship, the Romantic Nerds putting up the tag belts against the Bowlers, and a whole lot of more stuff in there. And then I believe it's Saturday in Spokane, the 2020 Cascadia Cup. I believe Chase James is going to be a part of that. And so, man, let's see here. What else do I want to talk about? Oh, I just want to give my predictions on this weekend championship games in the NFL. I am picking the Chiefs over the Titans. I think the Chiefs are going to tear them apart. I think it's time for the Titans' run to end. And then also, I am taking the Packers over those dirty, flea-infested San Francisco 49ers because I can't stand them. So let's see in the Super Bowl, the Packers versus the Chiefs. And so, yeah. So this week, let's get to Judas Icarus. Like I said, he just had a great weekend up in ECC Dub, Vancouver, Ballroom Brawls. We get into all that. We get into recent 3-2-1 battle matches he had with Daniel Maccabi. We talk Without a Cause, The Strays, Defy. Eli Surge comes up a couple times, and we talk some more stuff there. So check it out. Appreciate it. It's just a fun conversation. Thank you so much to Judas, and it was just a blast talking to him. So next week, I'll be talking to the one and only producer, Rob. We're going to break down Without a Cause 2020. And then also I'm going to be talking to the one and only Tectonic. We're going to talk about his career choice. He's a big move he's making. He's going to be moving to New Zealand starting next month to be part of the Fale Dojo, F-A-L-E. I hope I'm saying that right. And, congratulations to him. Big commitment all the way to New Zealand. So good for him. Congratulations to him. Dude, you can check out all the podcasts, each and every one of them, on SoundCloud as part of the Pro Wrestling Only Network. All other podcast platforms, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify. I'm sure there's other ones out there. Follow me on Twitter at BFPW Podcast. BFPW Podcast on Twitter. Thanks so much. And I am the L Train, and it's time to leave the station.
Are you looking for the newest and hottest in the world of pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 6,000 hours of the best events from over 150 of your favorite promotions from 20 different countries around the globe. Brands like Progress Wrestling, Evolve Wrestling, Combat Zone, Defy, PCW Ultra, PWX, Over the Top, Shine, and hundreds of others with fresh content added every day for only $5.99 per month. Get your free trial today at powerslam.tv.
Hey, and use my free promo code B like big, F like foot, P like pro, W like wrestling, F-R-E-E as in free, B-F-P-W-F-R-E-E. Check out all they said. You can also watch ECCW, DOA, and a whole lot of more. Hey, yo, the Ultrain here. We're back for another great week and another great guest, a guy that's just been amazing me each and every time I've seen him. I've seen him at Without a Cause. I've seen him with or over at Defy. Seen him on video at ECC Dub and Prestige, and he's just killing it around here lately. And the one and only Judas Icarus. Icky, man, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, I'm pretty good.
That introduction work for you there, pal?
Yeah, that'll do.
Hey, man, thanks for coming on tonight, man. We're just gonna let everyone know here, this was a kind of a last second thrown together thing. I've been kind of asking you the last little bit when you'd be ready, and all of a sudden tonight you were like, hey, I don't have any work, man, let's do this. So I appreciate it so much. So just chillaxing there tonight. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Coquitlam. Well, it's like I'm in like a weird like boundary of like Burnaby, Coquitlam, and like Port Moody. It's like where like three cities merge, and I'm just sitting at the center of it. I don't know. I think I'm technically Coquitlam anyways, but I'm in Vancouver.
So basically near
Vancouver, I guess.
Vancouver,
yeah,
area.
Everything's Vancouver, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like me. I live in Auburn, Washington, you know, and you come and wrestle in Everett, right. Washington, but everyone's like, oh, it's near Seattle.
Right, yeah. I get
that. So what's going on up there, man, tonight? We got the we got the weather here. We got icy winds. We got snow. What's it like near there in Vancouver right now? You guys got some snow up there?
Oh yeah, for sure. The snow's crazy. I can't remember like the last time I've seen this much snow. It's kind of insane. And I take like transit here, so buses have been shutting down, SkyTrains have been shutting down, so I've been getting kind of screwed in the ass this entire week. But it looks a little bit better now. I was able to kind of get around today. But my work was canceled, so that's why we're able to do this today. So that's cool.
Yay, work canceled, yeah. So we can get the one and only Jeebus on it. We've been trying to do this for months, never really worked out. Whether it was probably mostly my fault, and a couple times, you know, maybe you couldn't make it. But, you know, is what it is with these things. And I'm glad to have you on. I recently had your tag team partner in crime, you know, Elliot Tyler on, or Tyler Elliot, whatever you want to call him.
Little cutie. Yeah.
And that was a good time. So I'm glad to have you on here tonight, buddy. And dude, tell me, you know, I thought it was your tag partner that was in the moving crew, but apparently it is you.
In the what now?
Like, you're a mover for a living. You go move people out of their homes, things like that?
Oh, yeah, I did that part-time for
a while, I gotcha.
In the summer. Now I am a cook. Well, a cook in quotation marks because I work at a taco restaurant, and basically I just push it on the grill and call it a day. but then I put stuff on top of the tacos really nicely. So, you know, I'm kind of an artiste in that sense. But other than that, yeah, I wouldn't really call myself a cook. But, you know, there's no other word for it. So,
well, that's got to be a little bit easier work than being on a moving crew where you got to lift people's crap and put it in a truck and then go take it off somewhere else, man. But also, that was probably good for your training, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, for sure. It was it was pretty flexible as far as like everything. Yeah, it was like flexible for like hours, and then it was good workout as well every single time, just moving couches into places where couches shouldn't be, you know. And that seemed to be the case every single time.
You ever have any you got any crazy stories about moving? You guys like drop something fell off the truck, anything like that?
I never dropped anything too important. I just remember there was this one time where there was like a last second call. It was like on the 30th of the month or something. And like a last second call, and they needed us. And we get there and they haven't like packed any of their things. And I guess they had birds that just freely roam throughout their house. So we were moving stuff with just bird poop all over it. And it was the nastiest damn thing I've ever done in my life.
Oh, God.
And that was, that was around the end of my days as a mover.
I bet.
That was like this job that broke the camel's back, but yeah,
I'm sure.
I'd say that was the worst for sure.
Oh God, that doesn't sound great at all. Any part of that? Me and my friends back in the day, when I was young, we were always the guys they called to help a move, you know, because we had jobs, didn't make us a lot of money. So like, hey, you guys want to come over, have some pizza and beer? We're like, yeah, you know, we'd move you out. We'd break up walls and stuff, though. It wasn't great. Oh man, so. Speaking of diet and fitness and stuff, man, looking at yourself, you're like, you're freaking cut, you're in shape. What do you got? You're about, what, 22, 23 years old, somewhere in there, I'm guessing?
I turned 22 in April.
Oh, so you've been able to drink beer at least for the last year. But, oh, no, wait, up in Canada, 19.
Oh, yeah,
though,
19, baby.
Which I've means been, you've been I've drinking been since you're 12,
for a couple
probably.
Years now. Yeah.
Do you ever go to over your buddy's brewer pub over there where he works and have some of those beers with him?
I haven't, but every once in a while he gets a couple free beers from work, and then he brings back a 12-pack for everybody. Usually pretty good.
I was telling, man, it's like, I got to come up there and get hooked up, man. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Especially when I get that passport or my enhanced license. But, you know, I was going to ask you, like I said, you look great. What do you do for yourself, man? You working out, just wrestling? You hitting the weights? I mean, what do you, besides that beer you're talking about with the old beef boy over there, what do you do for diet? I mean, are you still eating what you want? You're young, 22. You still down in everything you want or what?
Right. I think I'm pretty fortunate with whatever genetics I got because I'm still pretty free with what I eat on the road. You know, sometimes I have a couple candies, you know, have a couple chips and stuff. Yeah, side note, I live with Eli Surge and he's not happy about my body.
Uh-oh.
Extremely ripped I am.
Well, tell Eli I said hi. I've been fortunate enough. He's been on the show with me, so tell him hello and thank you very much.
Lyle says hi and thank you for being on the show. Anyways, about how ripped I am.
Yes, let's talk your rippedness, yeah, no, man. What are you doing?
I mean, I usually have a pretty consistent like breakfast routine that I have going down, and it just has, it's a lot of calories and there's some like carbs and stuff, but like, I also live pretty frugal because I don't make a lot of money working only like part time at my inquisition marks.
Well, you are also
something at work and stuff, but
you're also a stray. Like,
yeah,
by the way,
I always like,
so, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. No, it's okay. And, I don't know. I just tend to try and stay on the healthy side when I'm eating out and stuff, and I don't know, works out. I don't know how, but works out most of the time.
Well, that's gonna be hard for
and
you.
And then as far as it's difficult on the road, especially. You just want to eat like shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You're traveling from say Canada to Everett, down to Oregon, Portland, Hermiston, wherever it might be. Man, it's like I know there's a really good place in Hermiston to get a pork sandwich, but anyway, I shouldn't even tell you that, but, but it's gotta be rough being on the road, all those places, unless you pack your own cooler before you hit the road. Do you ever do that?
No, I'm not that smart.
So you're not meal prepping yet?
No, straight up. No.
Well, that's cause you're just young yet. You know, if you were the 30 plus year old wrestler, you'd be like having your cooler with your meat and rice.
Yeah. I literally just got a suitcase this Christmas. So like I'm pretty behind. Whole wrestler lifestyle.
Oh man,
I'm getting it though.
Well, anyway, before we jump into your past here a little bit, you got this thing going on this weekend as we record it, this show, but the show won't drop till after that. But a big
right
deal up in Canada, Ballroom Ball. I think it's number 13, and you got a super cool couple days coming. For one, you get to wrestle the one and only Beef Boy. So give us your thoughts on that one to start.
So we've been doing this back and forth between a couple of promotions, mainly or only just Canadian so far, VIPW, PPW, ASW, ECCW. Every single time I've seemed to have beaten him. So basically the story goes is that he's pretty butthurt about that. We met in the finals of the 2019 Pack Cup as well. This is which I consider one of the most prestigious, tournaments in the Pacific Northwest. And then I beat him then. And I don't know. He's kind of been holding this grudge for as long as he can, and it's kind of come up to this crescendo of an I Quit match at Ballroom Brawl 13, night one. I think it's pretty fitting, seeing as we've done everything else we can do. And, I think it'll be good. I think it'll be the best one yet.
So, Beef Boy, one-on-one there in that area and other places, has never beaten you one-on-one, is what you're saying?
No. Yeah.
Well, damn. So, you're basically been schooling him this whole time, showing him how it's done, huh?
Oh, yeah, baby. 8-0.
So,
believe I keep track.
We'll talk probably more about him in a little bit when we change gears here, but night two? Yeah, Saturday, January 18th, and you're going to be in there with a couple big players, my friend Bandino, and also Jeff Cobb, man. Break this down for us and tell us your thoughts on us. You know, as this releases, people kind of know who what happened, but just kind of tell us your thoughts, what you think's going to go on.
I think it's good the way it's set up. Night one, kind of finishing off this long rivalry that's kind of been, you know, storied and has emotion, and for night two to kind of be like this, the second coming out party almost, you know, just moving on after this big rivalry. And I think doing it against two of the best wrestlers in the world, is a really good way to do it. Jeff Cobb, obviously, I've seen him work in person just a couple times now, and it's every single time he's absolutely phenomenal. Bandido, I've never met in person, but I've only seen his star, you know, rise over the past year or so, and he just does insane things. And he's so crisp and clean, and I think the combination of all three of us together is suitable for a main event, and I think I can really keep up with them. At least I hope I can. And, you know, kind of like show people that maybe I can be at that level, if not yet, eventually. Like the prospect's there. And, yeah, I don't know. Basically, I'm excited. Dude, it's going to be really good.
Be excited, be proud of yourself. You know, what I've seen you in singles, which, you know, I've seen you also in tags, man. You do great. You're phenomenal doing what you do, and your singles and matches are good. And I can't wait to be able to see. I'm not going to be there live, but to be able to see this match at some point on some kind of video on demand type of thing. I'm looking forward to it.
For sure. Thank you.
So, yeah. Congratulations to you to be able to be in there with those kind of folks there, man. But so that's a couple of the fabulous days of wrestling there. But before we get into too much else, man, let's jump back a little bit. Let's go back when you were just a little Judas Icarus, little Licky. And where did you grow up, man? Yeah. Did you grow up kind of in the same place and there in near Vancouver, or was it somewhere else?
Relatively. There's I don't know if you know about it. It's right off of Vancouver. There's a massive island called Vancouver Island. And that's where I spent the first, you know, 19 or 20 years of my life, I guess. Comox, more specifically, was my home, which is like a pretty small little town. But somehow in that town, I found a group that also enjoyed wrestling, a very niche group of kiddos. And that's kind of how we all started our bond. And then we kind of just developed as friends from there. And that's still a core group of friends that I keep to this day. And I kind of thank wrestling for it.
Oh, that's awesome, man. You were able to keep a lot of the friends a long time there. And, before wrestling, were you into anything else? Were you into, you know, I don't know, Little League, football? Or was it just basically you liked wrestling? Or were you into video games, music as you were kind of growing up? Elementary, junior high, high school.
Right. I played soccer from like 8 to 15, maybe. I never. The weird thing is, I never actually enjoyed soccer, like watching it or much about it. But I really enjoyed playing it, and I don't understand what that's about.
Something that you're like, you know, you're playing it, you're doing it. That's like a lot more exciting than maybe just watching it on TV. Because, you know, if I don't watch a soccer game like the Sounders we have down here, you know, if I don't watch the game from beginning to end, like if I turn it on halfway through a quarter or a half or whatever it might be, I can't watch it. I have to be invested in it from the beginning to end. So I kind of understand what you're talking about.
Yeah, that makes sense. I've kind of always been into hockey to this day as well. Not as much anymore, as wrestling is obviously my main focus, but I still keep track. I am a Calgary Flame fan till the day I die, unfortunately, sometimes.
Did you ever play any hockey yourself as a kid or in high school?
I did. I played about 5 years, but that was also more as a child than a teenager.
And I've never played hockey in my life. I wouldn't be able to skate. I'd fall on my face the whole time. And how hard is it to, you know, concentrate on the skating Plus, you know, some person's trying to knock you on your ass, almost like wrestling a little bit.
Right. Right. Well, I was in, like, the Little League, so we, it was like, there was no hitting. It was basically, like, touch football, but, like, not. I don't know.
They didn't have
I
that.
I don't know how it worked, honestly.
They didn't
it
have that.
It was so long ago. Also, my, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. They didn't have that one big kid that was just, like, crushing everyone, you know?
No, but like they do, but they did, but like they weren't allowed to, you know, but they would do it anyways. But yeah, I don't know. I really enjoyed it for when I did play it, and I always had like a passion for just watching and keeping up with it. Cause I think it's a really cool sport, and I don't know, there's always a part of me that'll still like it. And then as far as like other things, I really liked music as a child and teen, I guess. I was big on the MM Top 20. I'd always watch the TV show, which was like literally the same for the entire week, and it wouldn't change until the next week, but I would still watch it every day after school, and I don't understand how I did that now, but you know, that's in retrospect. Yeah.
So on a regular night when you got nothing else to do, when you're not working till 10 o'clock or not training, what is your kind of hobby thing to do?
Ooh. I usually just fill that time with the gym, or maybe I watch a bunch of YouTube videos. I'm pretty good with like taking up my time with just useless things. So I don't do collages or anything cool. I wish I did, but maybe homework, even though I'd probably do it for about half an hour and then neglect it the rest of the night.
And then you and Eli surged you.
Yeah, no main hobbies. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man. So let's jump in. So you mentioned a little bit ago. So when did you first remember wrestling in your life? Was it your friends, your family, somebody was watching it on TV, you flip channels, something like that?
Yeah, mine was a flip channel. I think I started watching around like 2006, 2007 maybe. I just remember my first memory being something to do with the Great Khali and like Batista or Undertaker. It was like that kind of era of those being the main guys. And yeah, I remember just kind of catching my eye with it and then kind of seeing what it was and then being like, okay, and then finding it the next week and, you know, kind of keeping up with it more and stuff, and then, you know, just turning into an all-out obsession eventually.
And while you're watching this, I don't know how many TVs you had in your house and all that kind of stuff, but were your parents or anyone going, what the hell are you watching that? Or was, you know, were they into it too? Or was, you know, wrestling in Canada like a little different than watching in the U.S. where your parents go, what the hell are you watching that crap? Or it's fake. Turn it off.
My mom was always like, my mom was never super negative about anything that I liked. Obviously, she was very supportive of everything. And I remember it must have only been like a couple months after I started watching wrestling. She got me like an Easter present for some reason, which is weird because I don't remember getting Easter presents on any other occasion. But for some reason on Easter, she gave me a Triple H and Batista action figure. And that was kind of like the start of a big action figure phase that I went through. I had about 120 by the time I was done. And now they're sitting somewhere in my friend's basement. R.I.P. Well, there's a bunch of them there.
120 WWE or wrestling action figures.
Yeah.
And they're sitting in someone's basement?
Yeah, I know. It's criminal.
What the hell is wrong with you? No, I'm just kidding.
I know. No, I know. You're right. It's terrible. You need to be set free.
Yeah, man. You got to have those, man. You got to have a shelf in your place or, you know. Yeah. The chicks dig those things, man.
For sure. Yeah.
So, you know, you had all your action figures and stuff, but who were your kind of, who were your faves every week, you know? The ones
Batista.
Batista? Like you said that real quick.
Yeah. Yeah. He was my go-to for so long. Like an insane amount of time.
So
yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was. He was just so fucking cool. I don't know why.
I liked Batista because he was a Ric Flair kind of guy. You know, because, right. You know, I'm from that day where Ric Flair was, you know, in his heyday and stuff. So to see Ric later when he was hanging out with Batista and Orton and Triple A, Triple H. But I love that stuff, man. And because I wasn't watching a lot at that point because I was in a different phase of my life. I kind of went away from wrestling for a while and then I came back to it. You know, years after that, but I always kind of, I had to look each and every week, oh, what happened on Raw? What happened, you know, whether I was reading it or just whatever, but yeah, I always loved the evolution.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I had to go back and watch those days after I started watching, but yeah, it was really cool.
Yeah, that had to be, you weren't too old still there in 2006, 2005, were you?
No, I don't know if I'll be able to do the math. Wait, that must have been 14 years ago?
Oh, man, that's prime wrestling, though. Prime wrestling age to be watching, though.
Yeah, so like 8. Wait, I don't know. I'm in school. I should be able to figure this out.
It's okay.
7. Okay, I was 7.
There you go. 7 on. And so your mom was supportive. Your favorite wrestler was Batista. Did you get the chance at that point to get to go to any live events?
I think it was like 2-3 years later I went to a live event. I think it was in Victoria. It was in Vancouver. I can't even remember what was like any of the main matches though. I just remember like Kofi Kingston, Randy Orton maybe. Oh, yeah, Randy Orton.
Who took you to this thing? Your mom or somebody else, or did you go by yourself, or you know?
I went with my aunt's husband, Demos, at the time, and yeah, it was pretty cool. And then I remember we took a bunch of videos and photos and stuff, and then we made them into like a collage on like on I don't know, just one video editing website, and then I put it onto a disc. And then I think I scratched the hell out of that disc and it's unusable today, but, I know.
I was about to say,
I would have loved to see that.
About to say, man, I'd like to see that, man. Yeah. You still got this disc, burn me one and send it, but apparently you can't do that. I think I did that with a lot of,
I don't think I was much of a yeller.
No,
no, I don't think probably wouldn't be in the video very much. So.
Oh, man, so you got to go to this, and so were your friends at the time also getting into the shows? Were you getting the pay-per-views at home or anything like that, or just watching, you know, Monday Night and SmackDown or whatever was out at that time?
Yeah, I remember, so at, like, the start, it was just me and one other friend that were super into it. This is my best friend, and he's still one of my best friends to this day, but he lives far away now. But yeah, we would rent like the big four pay-per-views, I'd say, rather than maybe every other one that we thought was really interesting. But yeah, obviously at the time they were like $70 and we were like 10. So, you know, you could only push for $70 out of your parents so many times a year.
I'll mow the lawn again, I promise.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Yeah, it's not cheap to be able to do that. But did you guys at least have, you know, the cable or dish or DirecTV or whatever that kind of stuff, so you could check out Raw and the TV shows?
Yeah. We both had. I think Brendan's favorite was Raw, and then I was more of a SmackDown guy. But that was because Batista was a SmackDown guy, so you know.
You are sold on Batista. Well, let me ask you this real quick. What did you think about his recent return? Well, it's probably not so recent now. I don't. It was last WrestleMania, right? Was it WrestleMania? Or
yeah.
When they him and Triple H went at it one more time, and of course Triple H won.
Yeah, I was just really happy because I'd always read interviews and stuff of how he wanted to go out and how he wanted to finish his career, and it was the exact circumstances, and I think the tiny lead up that they did into it was good, and I'm just really happy that he got to end it the way he wanted to, and. regardless of how the match was or any of that. I was stoked. I was really happy for him.
Oh, I can dig what you say, because I kind of feel that way about Goldberg, not the Undertaker match Goldberg in Saudi Arabia, but when he came back and, you know, he took on Brock and Kevin Owens. I really like the last little run that he had there, so completely understand that point that you were making there.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's get into it, man. So you've been watching wrestling. Your buddy's into it. Some more friends maybe got into it later. Your mom supportive. And when did it happen? When did you decide you had to be a wrestler? And then on a second point on that, when did you actually try to make it happen?
I don't remember the actual moment of wanting to become a wrestler. I always thought it was kind of a really hard, unattainable goal, like becoming like a famous musician or something. I thought it was like for superstars, you know? So I don't remember growing up much being wanting to be one myself. However, me and the friends that I later found that also like wrestling, we started our own trampoline federation that you can still find on YouTube to this day. I'm not going to give you. Yeah, you can do the digging if you really want to find it. It's in there. But yeah, we went hard for like 4 years of filming and like doing our own like pay-per-views, quote unquote, which were just, you know, big shows where we put in extra time. Nice. But we went hard, you know. We thought we were really good. You know, in hindsight, I don't know, but like it was like groundwork for something that I would later do, and I think honestly a lot of things that I would later put into my real wrestling now. And I'm really thankful for it, honestly, because it helped a lot with just like finding who I was. And I don't know, it was a good bonding experience as well for me and all those guys.
Well, let me ask you this, who's was it in your yard? You know, did you guys, was it one of your buddies' yards kind of thing?
Yeah, it was my buddy's yard. And then eventually somebody got hurt. I think somebody got a concussion or something. And then he wanted us to sign like waiver forms or something that we couldn't sue him. So we couldn't sue him. And then we were like, oh, that's lame. And then so he moved to his mom's house after that. We kind of just fizzled out eventually, but we tried to make a couple comebacks.
I love it.
But yeah, it just never happened, unfortunately.
And did you get your local buddies, you know, and all that to kind of come watch the shows and stuff like that?
It was mostly just the guys who were on the show,
right?
And maybe a couple extended friends and then their girlfriends, and that'd be about it. We were all the audience that we needed. We would pop ourselves, and that was good enough for us.
Okay, so after that, you know, you got this experience on your trampoline now, and
hell yeah.
So how did you get to the next level? Had you heard about ECC Dub? Is that where you started kind of training with, or, you know, tell us how you actually got into some training after that, or how you got into the product after that, whatever.
Yeah, we I think at this point we were definitely still doing the trampoline stuff. And we were at Pita Pit one day and we saw this poster in the Pita Pit and we saw this guy on it and we thought he looked really cool. Turns out to be Ethan HD. And he was signed for the local indie show for PWA, which had like Eddie Osborne, Ray Von Slasher, Creator, Von Slasher, you know, Lax Siddhartha, Scott Steele, BJ Laredo, all the Island Boy. And we were like, well, let's freaking go to this. Like, let's try this out. Cause none of us said, well, I think I had been to an indie show before, but like, not really. I was pretty hooked on WWE, and then we went outside of that. We liked the PWGs and ROH and all that stuff. But this is like local indies, was kind of a new thing to us. So we planned on going to this. Unfortunately, I had to work that day, but my friend Reed and Robbie went. And when they went there, they were talked to by Eddie Osborne, who said that he was opening a wrestling school just half an hour away. And yeah, so we were like, well, we might as well. So me and my friend Reed went and tried out. And then we kind of just took off from there. Yeah. And then I started with Eddie Osborne and the Pro Wrestling Academy on the Vancouver Island.
Pro Wrestling Academy, Vancouver Island, yep. Eddie Osborne. And, you know, tell us about the training a little bit. Was it kind of a shock thing when you walked in there? How was your shape when you went in there? How was your cardio? Did it, you know, beat the hell out of you? Did you want to come back? Did you want to quit? You know, break that down a little for us. And
It was really cool getting to understand kind of some of the things to notice when watching a match. And obviously at the very start, everything's very simple. Like you don't get to bumps until, you know, like whatever the week three class or something, or there's a lot of, you know, rolls, yeah, cardio, the beginning of chain wrestling. Which was all really cool, just learning how to do properly and stuff, and that that kept us coming back as much as possible. And yeah, we made that drive, you know, twice a week for however many months. Yeah, we just kept coming back, and I think it did test my fitness a couple times. I was pretty slim then, so I think I was like pretty strong for my slim little body, maybe even stronger than I am now. I felt like I could do more chin-ups when I like didn't go to the gym at all for some reason. I think that's just because I was like 140 pounds and could just, you know,
kind of lift yourself a little better.
Yeah, for some reason. So it kind of sucks, but whatever. I'm ripped now. Okay.
Hey. Hashtag ripped.
Yeah, I'm taking. And then, yeah, we just kept going back, and the rest was history.
So in that class with, or that training sessions with Eddie Osborne, you right. and some of your friends were in there. Anyone else in there that is on the scene these days?
Yeah, we have, so Nolan James was already part of, he had already started wrestling. I think he was only about 20 matches in, maybe, though. He's a mainstay at, like, VIPW and PWA, what is now 365 Pro Wrestling. They went through a rebrand, and now they're 365, which is on the island and also in Ontario. And then he's come over to ECCW a couple of times, as well as, like, ASW, PPW. And then also there's Javiko, who's someone that I had a really long rivalry with, and we were kind of married to at the beginning of my career. We face each other. I remember there was one weekend where we had three shows and we faced each other on every single show. That was pretty fun. And then Nathan Legacy is another one from the Academy. He joined about 6 months after us. He was very promising and like super good, really good at the Flippy Boys and just really good at wrestling overall. I had a bunch of matches with him. He's been out with a injury for the last year and a half or something, which is really terrible because I really liked him, but hopefully he comes back one day. And then also in that class, there was Tim, who ends up being our ref, who was a ref for VIPW for a long time, but ends up being just the ref. He's super cool. I love Tim and Little Tim. there's a Tim and a Little Tim. They're both cool. And then yeah, my friend Reed was the other person in that class. He was the one that went to training with me for the first couple months, and then we would eventually have my second ever match with him and his first ever match in Comox, my hometown. He would only end up wrestling the one match, and then he would end up quitting the business. But it was good for a second match, and I really liked it. We at least got to have the one while he was, you know, doing it and liking it and stuff.
How were the nerves going out there those first couple matches for you in front of other people?
Oh, terrifying. I remember the first match I ever had. I actually wasn't on the show. It was a PWA show in Campbell River. PWA is ran by Eddie Osborne. I wasn't supposed to be on the show, but then a bunch of the mainlanders that were on the show were showing up late because of like a ferry delay or something. Oh. So we needed somebody to open the show. So Eddie was like, hey, you're wrestling tonight about an hour before the show. and me being, having not wrestled a match, was like, okay. And I was like, don't have gear. And he was like, here's some gear. And I was like, okay.
Uh-oh. You didn't have your gear, but he happened to have some gear that you could put on.
Yeah, he knew what was going on. And then, yeah, so it was against Nolan Williamson. It was just a little 8-minute fiesta. It's actually on YouTube today as well under BC Indie Wrestling. And yeah, it's kind of fun to look back on every once in a while and just see me flopping around and having no idea what I'm doing. But, you know, still, I don't know. It's nice. It's fun.
So at this point, what did your, did you like that? At this point, what did your family think? What's going on here? This guy's doing wrestling. Were they supportive?
Yeah, they were super supportive. I think they were pretty upset actually that they couldn't be on my first match, seeing as it was, you know, last second. But they ended up being at the second one, and then I think they've been at countless other ones since. They've, you know, come all the way to Vancouver to be at a couple. They've went to a bunch up and down the island, and yeah, the entire time they've been extremely supportive. There's never a time where they had any doubt in their mind, because they knew I loved this for, you know, a really long time, and they knew about the trampoline stuff and everything, so they knew this was kind of just a big culmination of a long history of loving wrestling.
Did they pay for the trampoline?
No.
Just kidding. I thought I would just, you know, bring that up real quick. But, dude, you know, trained with Eddie Osborne. So did you move on from there to some other training after that?
Yeah, I was on the island for 2.5 years, I guess. And then September of last year, I moved over to Vancouver. And I've been training with the likes of, like, Artemis Spencer and Cole Matthews for the most part. Tony Baroni, I've only been able to train with once or twice. And they're insanely wrestling intelligent. Also very good people, which has made it really easy to go when I can. But unfortunately, my schedule's been super busy with, you know, school and work and wrestling on the weekends and everything, that I haven't been able to go as much as I want and learn from them, because I know they're friggin' geniuses. And if anybody, you know, is in Vancouver and wants to know how to friggin' wrestle, that's how you do it. You go to those guys.
Hey, tell your friend to be quiet back there, okay?
Yeah, John, Eli, shut up.
I'm just messing. That's funny, though. That cracks me up.
He's swallowing his coughs.
But anyway, man, so we talked about some trainers that you've had, you know, Artie, Nicole, Eddie. Other than trainers, who've been some of the kind of pals or mentors kind of along your side that have kind of helped you through all this, gave you good advice, said, you know, don't fucking quit. Oh, pardon me. Don't quit. And,
yeah,
you know, that kind
of
stuff.
I've had, countless people, like a lot of people. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard to even, like, I think for the most part, I'm getting a lot of that now more than ever, just, you know, support from people that I look up to a lot in wrestling, and I think are really good at it, and they know the ins and outs, and any advice from them is really cool. It's hard to, like, dish out specific people. I guess, yeah, mainly even the all my people that I've trained with, every time I get any advice from any of them is really cool. Eddie obviously being the main one, and then yeah, Artie and Nicole, just they're crazy, and they think so much about wrestling, and it's really cool. So yeah, any advice from them is amazing.
So tell us, Ben, you've wrestled quite a few places: ECC, Dub, Defy, Without a Cause, you know, multiple other places, PWA, like you said, and you know, I'd like to talk a little bit about your singles things that you've done at Defy. I've seen you there a couple times now, man. And how's it make you feel to get on that stage at Defy, man? That Washington Hall is something else, isn't it?
Yeah, it's insane. I remember the first time I was there is the Defy to Survive match, and the reaction from the crowd is just insane. Like it's cool to just work in general in front of a crowd, but to have some that are that enthusiastic and that loud just makes everything you do so insanely easy and just makes wrestling so simple, and it makes wrestling feel so good. I don't know. It's every time I leave after the show, it's a really good feeling, regardless.
Oh man, you've had some good times there. Like you said, that Defied, Survive, and recently you're in a, what was it, like a six man or something like that, or a multiple team match on back in September. I think it was Jordan Oasis, yourself, Hero, somebody else, Border Patrol, Travis Williams. Bunch of people in that thing.
Yeah, bunch of.
But, man, Washington Hall is something else over there. And then, you know, it's another great place is Without a Cause, man. And you and your tag team partner, the Strays with Rabies, been kicking ass there since the beginning of it.
Yeah, yeah. We've been on basically every single show. Mine, two of them, I think, now. But it's been really cool kind of like developing our tag team as this company is developing. The amount of things they've done in the last year is astounding. It was a really good start for them, but I think where they're at now is 100 times better than where they started, which is, I'm really proud of them.
Oh, dude, they're killing it. All kinds of great stuff going on there. The tag team champions, championship belts coming on the horizon there. And I'm sure the Strays will be in the thick of it. Man, you guys had some great matches there recently with, 4 minutes of heat, man. And, man, I don't know what it is, but you guys got great chemistry together.
Yeah, well, I think it helps that they are two of the funniest human beings I've ever met in my entire life.
Yeah, they are.
Just working, just being in the same locker room with them at any time, maybe my favorite thing of all time. And let alone getting to work with them and learn from Ricky as well as Eddie. I don't know. They both think a lot about wrestling as well, and they're both really good at basically every aspect of wrestling. Their marketing is insane. They push everything they have through the roof. They're good at the social medias. They post every day. Obviously their in-ring talent and their character is, I can't put them over enough. They're probably the best tag team in the Pacific Northwest.
Well, let me bring up a couple other tag teams that go over there. Young Muscle, Jaden and yes. Nick Wayne, man. Thoughts on those fellas?
They're awesome. We had a match against them, which you probably were there for. That was a lot of fun. I watched them coming up singles by themselves a lot, and I really want to work both of them one-on-one, but the chance to work both of them at the time was really cool. It was going to be crazy, and they, were going to do everything, under the sun, and that's exactly what they did. I was really happy with that match. Kind of developing them as a tag team, and that was good.
Oh, man, and not only that, a couple other teams, or one other team, the Hall Sisters. You've taken those gals on at Without a Cause and 3-2-1 Battle. Phenomenal tag team themselves.
Yeah, they're really good. We haven't got the chance to do a straight up tag team match yet, but I'm really hoping that comes to light one day, as they're both, especially Liza now has kind of come into her own as a completely different person than what she was in the Hall Sisters. So even just a combination of both of them together, just as they are now, would be really fun. I think Bambi is like easily one of the best women wrestlers in the Pacific Northwest. I've got to working with her a couple times. I worked a singles with her at 3-2-1, and that was really fun. And I haven't had a chance to work with Liza in a while, but she's really come into her own lately, and I'm really proud of her. So yeah, I hope that happens, a straight up one day.
Well, I'm jumping around between promotions here, but recently you had a super cool run over at 3-2-1 Battle. I watched each and every week, each and every other week, I should say, on Twitch, and
right.
You had some good matches. You took on Steve West, You took on Pitfall, and then you made it to the finals and wrestled Daniel Maccabi. Tell us about that little run, and then tell us about the, you know, the match last week with Daniel.
Right. It was very cool. As long as as far as Steve West and Pitfall go, they were both matches that I really liked, as well as Big Hurt Alan Jepson and Bambi Hall as well. That was my entire block, and I think I had a stacked block to work with, and I think every match was gonna be a good one regardless of what happened. There's a lot of talent in there, and I think it showed, and I think the tournament was a really good idea to just display everyone together in singles matches. I really enjoyed that tournament. I think it kind of made the 3-2-1 battle fans kind of understand who I am more. They understand the Strays, which is really cool, but I think me just on my own, and then obviously Ellie on his own, we're whole different people, and we have whole different talents, and I think we were both really able to, you know, shine a lot. And then obviously, yeah, that culmination with Maccabi was super cool. That's easily one of my favorite matches that I had of the entire year, and it happened at the very end. It's being like shared a lot around right now, and I think it deserves as much credit as it's getting, which is cool to see, you know, a match that you really like and other people like. I'd hate if there was like a match that other people liked that I'm not very proud of, because I would I'd be kind of butthurt, but or vice versa. I'm really proud of that match, and people should go out of their way and watch it if they could. That'd be cool.
Dude, I've got cagematch.net up here, and I'm kind of running down a bunch of your matches here, and I almost forgot a match at Defy. Didn't you take on the one and only Matt Cross one-on-one?
Sure did.
Dude, tell us about being in the ring with that guy, and obviously at Defy. How was it, man?
It was really cool. I remember the moment Matt Farmer, or I think it was Jim, actually, Jim Perry, told me that I was going to get that opportunity. It was just kind of like, I don't know how to describe it. It felt like, why am I getting this opportunity kind of thing, but it was also like, am I prepared for this opportunity kind of thing? And it was a lot of anxiety mostly, but then over time, it kind of turned into, you know, determination and, you know, wanting to have a really good match with him that I can be proud of and stuff. And I think for the most part, I'm pretty happy with it. And then we also got the chance to work together again at the Defiance Forever Tacoma show. But it was me, Cody Chun, and Guermo, and Matt Cross again. So it was cool to get a repeat with him, get to wrestle with him a bit more. And now when we see each other at the shows, we're kind of buddies. No big deal. But I'm good friends with my good friend, Matt Cross. let me just pick up that name. Thank you. I'm dropping too many names. I'm hurting Eli's toes.
That's all right, man. It's all right. Yeah. I was at that Defy show in Tacoma, the four-way, and that was that match. I mean, it freaking could have main evented it. You guys all together, you know, you, Rosas, and Chun, and then you got the guy, Matt Cross, in there. It was so much fun watching that.
Thank you.
You are welcome. That whole night was great. That was a great weekend. That was the New Japan show, I think, the day before, too.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It
was really cool. Oh, my God. Let's see here. So we've been talking almost an hour here and just jumping around on different matches here and stuff. So, dude, what has been some of your most fun ECCW matches, most memorable for you?
So off the top of my head, the newest one being me versus Beef Boy at Halloween Hell in a trick-or-treat death match that didn't end up involving any tricks or treats, just death. It was the first time I was involved in a match using tacks, so that was interesting. Ooh. On my bare feet. And I don't know. I really like that match mostly because it just extended the rivalry that we had going. Obviously, I won. And that's why we're doing this ballroom brawl thing. Besides that, I also really liked the last ballroom match I had, which was me versus Travis Williams versus Elliot Tyler versus David Starr. And that that was a match which was really cool, just because me, Travis, and Ty are really good friends outside of the ring, and I think getting an opportunity with somebody that we really admire, a big star like Mr. David Starr. David Starr, that's another one.
Nothing out of him there.
Dropping these things. I'd say those are two of my favorite. I've had a lot of other recent ones actually that I've been really proud of, like one against Bishop, one against Fergie, one against Eric Strange. I had like a War Games match, which was really cool because I got to be in a cage for the first time. I've had a lot of really good memories at ECCW.
Let me ask you about one match. I'm just kind of scrolling through your thing here.
For sure.
June 29th of 2019 at PWA Capital City Combat. You take on, and you lost to, I didn't see the match, so I don't know what happened. Nicole Matthews, man. How is that getting in there with the fabulous legend like Nicole Matthews? She probably doesn't like that I said legend, but, you know, she kicks ass.
Yeah, she's super rad. She's easily probably, I guess maybe after Ty and maybe Travis and maybe Eli sometimes, my favorite person to work with. But also she probably gets put above all of them. we had our first match in Duncan in 2018, and that was something that I really enjoyed. It was my favorite match up until whatever point. I think it's still easily in my top five favorite matches I've ever had. So to get that rematch was super duper cool. I think she's amazing. I love Nicole.
Well, I'm going to put you on the spot right now. What about your partner that was in the uprising, Eli Surge? Give us your thoughts about him.
He sucks. He sucks. He's brutal.
He doesn't even know what we're asking right now, so that's great.
Yeah, he's something.
You know, I was kind of looking at your guys' Defy record. Did you guys win one Defy match, I think? I wrote it down somewhere. Now I can't find it.
We won. I think we won two. Right? I don't know. I think we won. I think we won the one against the Voros twins, and then one against the Cook Bros.
There you go.
We sure did. There we go. And then yeah, that was about the extent of our winning record.
Yep, I got it right here. June 15th, you defeated the Voros twins, and then June 16th, one was in Tacoma, one was in Portland. You defeated the Cook Bros. So there we have it.
Thank couple W's.
Thank goodness for cagematch.net.
I'm surprised people actually put stuff on there, so that's really cool.
Keeps it up to date. I use it.
That's rad. we were much more successful at VIPW. We were champions for like almost a year. We're, I guess, small fish in a big pond. Big fish in a small pond? What is the size of the pond?
It depends on the pond and the size of the fish.
Right. I think, anyways, but now we're on a bigger scale and we got bigger opponents and better opponents, and it's taken us a little while to get to the top, but I have no reason not to believe that we'll be there eventually.
Well, tell me about this, man. Where do you want to see, you know, not with Eli or any of these other guys. I'm just messing. Where do you want to see yourself here in a couple years? You know, you've been doing this for a little while now. You're training hard, wrestling every single weekend, all the days you can. Where do you want to see yourself in 2 years?
2 years. It's hard to say 2 years from now. Because the next year I know I'll be
kind of bound to Vancouver due to schooling and stuff, but come next January, I'll be more of a free agent, being able to move around and, you know, just instead of, you know, paying for schooling and working part-time, I'll work full-time and, you know, hopefully be able to fly myself out a couple places, get myself known a little bit more. And so, yeah, I think next year will really be a huge pivotal year to make it or break it. But I'm hoping this year also can bring forth a couple of really good opportunities and, you know, some more eyes. So yeah, 2 years from now, I don't know. It's hard to say, but, you know, hopefully bigger of a name, brother. Hopefully it'll be a big name, brother. It'll be a fly instead of a drive-in.
There you go. And, you know, who's an opponent, one or two opponents that you haven't been in the ring with that, you'd really like to get in the ring with, whether they're local, you know, on TV that we're watching, you know, it's right. Your choice.
Like never been in the ring with, or just never been singles with, or just
never
like...
been in the ring with.
Ooh. Okay. Never been in the ring with. Okay. So, I would like to face, my good friend, Douglas James. DJ. Yeah, you can watch your toes on that one. And yeah, he's really good. I've really liked all of his matches that I've watched so far. Him is a big one. I've never really been able to get in a ring with. I've been in the ring with most of the people, I think, in the Pacific Northwest, but I think there's a lot of singles matches that I'd really like. That are still out there and, you know, waiting to happen.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you and Artie went one-on-one before?
We have. It's a bit of an obscure one. I don't know if... Oh, you know what? I think I made a highlight video for it. I don't know if the full match is out there, but this was, I think, maybe my second or third time coming over from the island to ECCW. And this was his second or third match coming back from his year-long injury with his ankle. It was something that I was really proud of at the time. And I was still in the overalls. And I don't know. I really like that match, and I hope we get another one again, because we just did a tag match. That we were against each other, and then we had a tag match where we were on the same team at Defy, and it's just, yeah, it's cool being around him in any way, so I hope that happens again.
Oh, man. Anyway, man, let's kind of wrap this up. We've been talking for sure. In just a little bit over an hour, and, you know, Christ. Anything we didn't get to this time, we'll get to it another time.
Hell yeah.
You know, and like I said, I think we talked about it in the beginning. We threw this together at the last second, so I appreciate it very much. And, dude, you got any merch you're going to be having at the tables? You can get online, anything like that?
I'm really terrible with the merch right now, just because I got no money. But I'll work on something. Hopefully, you know, I'll get something soon. I haven't had certs and like, since at least last ballroom, and then I only had 10 there. So, eventually something will come out.
But anyway, so how do the folks follow you on social media?
Right. I got my Instagram, which is just Judas period Icarus. You know, it might be no period, probably no period. I think it's just Judas Icarus. And then Twitter, we got the Judas Icarus, I'm pretty sure.
Yep, I'm looking at it, buddy. You got it right.
Nice. Good stuff. Oh, and I got a Facebook page that I actually keep very up to date with, even though I know people don't be using Facebook that much anymore, but I'm there. I'm still posting stuff. You can contact me there.
Is it under Judas Icarus?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, surprisingly. but yeah, I'd say my most used is probably just my Instagram account, which is it's Judas Icarus without the period. just due to cigarettes. But I'd say that's the one I, you know, I post all my pictures, you know, videos from my matches, and then on my story, usually it's posters I'm on or shows that I'm on, sorry. Yeah.
Well, my man, thank you for so much for coming on here. We finally got to hook this up. I appreciate what you do, you know, kicking ass each and every weekend, working your ass off to get where you want to be. And thanks again for coming on. I'll see you this coming weekend at WAC, even though this comes out at, no, wait, are you guys at WAC this weekend, or I don't even know?
No, we're not. We're not going to be at this WAC, actually.
Oh, yeah. Goddamn. Well, anyway,
I know.
I won't see you at this WAC. We'll see you again coming another time. And, dude, let me just ask you one last question. Any final thoughts tonight on anything you want to leave us with before we hit the button to end this all?
Maybe just the upcoming shows I have. So obviously we talked about Ballroom Brawl, but then the weekend after that, I'm at 365 Pro Wrestling. I got Brody King on the first night, and then Josh Alexander on the second night, which is insane.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and then the weekend after that, I got Defy, and then the weekend after that, I got Glam Slam for the first time, which is really cool. And then it goes on after that. But those that's what I got coming up, and that's where you can see me.
You got to get in there with Brody King.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that, who'd you say?
Josh Alexander.
Oh, jeez. Dude, yeah. I don't envy you. Hey, man, thanks so much for coming on tonight. We should talk again sometime. We'll get a little more in depth about some stuff. But I appreciate you, appreciate what you do, and you have a good night, man.
Thank you, you too.
This episode recorded at the Bigfoot headquarters. This has been a Swagamore production.